Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of the Ambitious Freelancer Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Danielle of Kail Media Publishing, and I'm so excited to chat with her about all of the amazing stuff that she does as a freelancer. Danielle is one of the best content and creative people that I know, and her branding is on point. So we talked about branding, we talked about content creation, we talked about just building a brand that you'll love and adore and helping other people do the same. So Danielle is an amazing content marketer, brand storyteller, and all around awesome person, and I'm so excited for you guys to get to know her tips and strategies. So without further ado, let's just get into today's interview. Hi, Danielle. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. I've been following you for a while now, so it's really exciting to have you on the show because you have some amazing content today. Content in general, not just today. I love following you online. And I'm super excited to have you share your expertise with my audience today.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. I really appreciate you reaching out to me.
Awesome. So to start every podcast, I just like to ask, you know, for you to explain who you are and what kind of freelancing you do.
Sure. So I'm Danielle Wallace. I am the owner and strategic brand storyteller of Kail Media Publishing, a content marketing business that I started last year, where I help creative brands leverage their digital content and get clear on their brand messaging.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I feel like you are like the best person I know about like brand messaging and storytelling. I just love to follow you and all the content you put out. But to start, we're going to talk about like your services and your strategy offerings, because I think it's really cool to see how other freelancers put together their service offerings, because everyone is always like, oh, what should I charge? Oh, how should I put this together? And it's just really cool to see how other people do it.
Yeah. So for me, I'm a person that has tons of ideas in my head. So when I started my business, it was a little bit tricky when it came to services because, you know, creatives, you just want to do everything. But in actuality, you can't do everything. So I stuck with the main parts of content marketing that I thought would help people. And I also went back to my roots, which is in journalism, because I was a reporter for nearly 8 years. So mixing those two together is something that I felt I could feel a need for other creatives, which is brand storytelling combined with also my love for writing in general. So while setting up my services, my goal was to make everything as clear as possible. And I thought strategically about those services that are in high demand in content marketing and how I could bring my expertise in brand storytelling again to fill that need. So I offer a lot of copywriting services, whether it has to do with website copy, email copy, lots of social media copy as well. So that's essentially how I came to put it all together.
Yeah, so I'd love to know also like how has it morphed? Because I know that some people, when they see a freelancer who has it all together, they think, oh, it's always been that way. But I know when I first started, my services were way different. They were priced different. Everything was different. I didn't know what to do. So it was like, I was putting it together, but that was just a start. So I'd love to know how yours morphed.
Right. So in the beginning, I actually started on the site called Fiverr. A lot of freelancers start on there. Probably almost 2 years ago, I started on Fiverr because I was trying to figure out how do I actually get my business up and going. And so Fiverr was the best option for me at the time where I could get those leads coming in. And of course, prices have changed significantly since I started on Fiverr. If you've been on any of those sites like Fiverr and Upwork, you know that your prices are significantly different from what you have now. So that is how they actually morphed. And one of the things that also changed is I added brand messaging to my services. That was not something that I had in the beginning, because after listening to so many people, I saw that there was a need to build that foundation, having like a documented guide for brand messaging in place for people, you know, those guides that include your ideal client personas, the brand positioning statements, elevator pitches, and their suggested social media platforms, because we see so often that people put stuff out there on social media and there isn't a concrete documented guide behind it all, because these brand messaging guides you can hand off to a social media manager or a copywriter, so everything is kept consistent. So I started offering that after I started, because I saw that need as well.
Yeah, I love that story. I know for me, I started on Upwork. That's how I got my start. And definitely everything has shifted. Like when I first started in my niche specifically, I was making like $35 an article. And I definitely don't make that now. So it's really cool to see how things have morphed and changed. And it's really cool to see how other people got started on like a similar way. I think that a lot of people were like, oh, I'll never get off of Upwork or Fiverr or anything. But you can if you make that shift. And I think that those platforms are really great for starting out to get your bearings together. And it's also a place to make some mistakes. Whereas like on your own website, I feel like you kind of after a while, you kind of have to get your stuff together. But like on Fiverr and Upwork, you can see how things are going. You can take some jobs that you can just like test out and see like what's going to happen. But yeah, eventually you can decide exactly what kind of freelancing life you want.
Exactly. I've had some amazing clients from Fiverr that have followed me far from Fiverr. So Fiverr and Upwork, those sites are definitely good places to get started. You learn a lot. Most of those places have different resources that you can have for free. It's very, very beneficial.
Yeah. So another thing I noticed that you offered on your website is strategy sessions. And you're going to talk about that with the brand messaging part. But I'd love to know, like, specifically with the strategy sessions, why was that something you wanted to offer? And how did you kind of set those up within your business?
Sure. So I started opening up strategy sessions this year because of so many questions, not only from the clients that I currently work with, but people that connect with me on social media would ask different questions. And so I thought, you know, this would be a good way to give people a better way of working one-on-one with me to get that foundation and their content going, getting a good direction going for themselves. So, of course, I'm a firm believer in having a solid strategy to build out your editorial calendars or your social media calendars. I feel that a good strategy will take you a long way. So just listening to the questions and thoughts from clients and other people that I've connected with on social media, that's the main reason why I started opening up these strategy sessions.
Yeah. So do you have like a process for like how you turn those into regular clients, or do you feel like strategy clients are just strategy clients?
So I feel that people can either go into a content strategy or a social media strategy with the idea of, okay, this is a very good strategy. I'm going to take it back to my team, their in-house team or whatnot, or DIY it themselves, but there are those people that want that person that actually did the strategy to continue. They want to continue working with them to keep everything consistent. You know, this person has done all of this, putting it together. They know how my messaging is. They know how my brand voice is. So it's always up to the person that you're working with if they desire more. And it's also up to people when it comes to their budgets at the time. Maybe you'll come across those clients that don't have a budget to work with you on a month-to-month basis. So a strategy to get them going in the right direction on their own could be beneficial for them instead.
Yeah, I definitely think that is the case. And you never know, like down the road, they might want something like a different strategy session, or they might refer you to someone else. So I think it's still just a great way to like get more people in your like circle of people you've worked with. I think that, you know, especially in today's time, like when we're going through all this craziness, it's good to have a few different ways that you can work with people.
Exactly. And what I've noticed, especially during this time, a lot of people, you know, of course, they're pivoting their messaging and they're trying to figure out how to do that. They might have to change their current strategy, or maybe they didn't have one and they're looking to build something solid. So content strategies, social media strategies, they're very beneficial for people.
Yeah. So the next thing I want to talk about is content, because I feel like you are like one of the best content creators I know. Like, you put out so much great content every single like week and every single day. And I'm like, oh my goodness, every time I look at your stuff, it's so amazing. So yeah, a little love for your content. So first and foremost, you know, how do you plan the kind of content you're going to create each month? How do you set it out and create that plan?
So, great question. I usually use the project management tool Asana for planning all of my content. I go do this like each week by sectioning it off by months and quarters. Like, I would section it off, break everything up with one topic each month. So I usually have one topic each month that I will break up into subtopics for each week. So for instance, April is all about content strategy. One week I might talk about elements of a good content strategy. Another week I would talk about why you should have a content strategy, so on and so forth. And my goal is usually to base my social media content around those subtopics. And of course, I do like a weekly blog on my business website. So I would make the blog particularly about that topic for the month. And on my email list, I would do the same thing. A lot of repurposing of content, like taking something from a social media post, turning it into something that your email subscribers would love, and adding something exclusive to them. So that's how I usually do it. I have one topic each month that I break up into subtopics, and I add little bits and pieces to each platform and on my email newsletter and also on my blog posts.
Yeah, that's just a really cool strategy. And I love how you break it all down and you keep it like under one topic so it's not overwhelming. How do you like come up with topic ideas?
So I usually sit down every now and then, and I will do like a brain dump and list out things that are on my mind that would be good things to talk about with my audience. Or I will ask people in different polls on social media, you know, what's on their mind, you know, what are they struggling with? What do they need right now? What can I help them with? So it's a combination of both. I usually sit down and I make a list of things that I think that people need to hear about right now, or I get their opinions about what they need to hear. And I also do some research. I see what's trending, what's going on in content marketing. There are couple of sites that they're my go-tos when finding out what's trending in this industry, and I can put my own spin on it for my own audience.
Those were awesome tips. So the next thing is your captions. I feel like you have some of the best captions around. More love for your content. They're great. They're lengthy. They have a lot of great information in them that people can actually use in their businesses. So how do you go about creating those captions that people can get value from in their business?
So, fun fact, you know, as a former TV reporter, there's this phrase called, if it bleeds, it leads, meaning something that is intriguing, something that is important, it should be at the very top of your caption. And so that's what I always aim for with my captions, to draw in attention, especially on Instagram, because, you know, your caption gets cut off after a few words when you're scrolling. So you want to make it interesting where people stop and want to hit the button to set the see more button to read what else you have to say. So always want to start captions with something intriguing and eye-catching. And you also want to end every caption with a strong call to action. You want to make your call to action stand out, whether that is using all caps, using emojis, something interesting, make it stand out, think outside the box to make people take action. One of the things that is very good to do is either at the beginning of your post or at the end of it, make it stand out in parentheses, save this post. If it's a post about tips or something, you want to mention save this post. This tells people, hey, this is going to be great information that you want to come back to later. And when you tell them that, more than likely they're going to save it. I've done it tons of times in saves on social media posts. They are the best. They're better than a regular like. Telling the platform that people are going to come back to this post because they're interested in the information that you're giving them right here.
I love that. And I love that you're focusing on something that is not just a like, because I feel like it's so hard as a person creating content, whether you're a freelancer or anything. Like, it feels like sometimes likes are the easiest because they're the most visible. But honestly, you never know how someone is really reacting to a post unless you look at the analytics and the saves, because you could have like 5 likes but like 10 saves. And it's like, oh, people actually really do love this content. And it's just not in the form of a like.
Exactly. Yeah. Likes, you know, a few years back, likes were the thing. As we know, Instagram started saying that they were going to start hiding the likes. You know, in some places they have started hiding the likes. Some people that I work with their Instagram pages, you can't see the likes unless you go into the analytics. And where I'm located, you can see the likes. So it's different in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, that this feature is showing up. And, you know, saves are good. Looking to see, are people actually going to visit your website? Those are good. In comments, those are really good too. It shows engagement, and I think it helps when you talk about the algorithm. It helps when people are commenting on your post and you take time out to comment back in a timely fashion. It definitely helps.
Yeah, I love that. I just like that. You know, it's not all about the likes anymore. And I feel like a lot of people get down because their likes are down, but everyone's likes are down. Figure out like the other things, like you said, the website visits and the saves and the comments are all better.
Exactly. And one other thing that, you know, a lot of people get down about is the amount of followers they have. But you can have 10,000 followers and it doesn't matter if these people are not engaged. What you're putting out there. The whole point is to have that engagement. You're driving people to your website, to the things that are in your link in your bio, to your email list. You know, you have to drive them to something other than just following and just liking you.
Yeah, for sure. I've noticed that a lot of people, especially freelancers, they don't have a lot of followers, but you can have a little bit of followers and still make a decent income as a freelancer, because especially if you're not like a social media manager, like obviously with social media management, you probably do want to have like a good like showcase on your profile, but most freelancers aren't social media managers. There's all kinds of freelancing you can do, and you can still mm-hmm. have a really successful career without like a ton of followers.
Exactly. Right.
So another thing, especially because you do those strategy sessions and different things like that, I'd love to know, like, how do you create free content without giving too much away? Or can you give too much away? Is that such a thing anymore?
No, I try my best to make sure that I'm not giving away too much free content. For instance, right now I'm working on a freebie that I'll put on my website. It will probably be the one freebie that I will make and have it there. because it would be beneficial for anyone that wants it, but I wouldn't create freebies all the time, because what will happen there is people will only come back to you for free stuff. And at some point, you know, that goes for any of us. We can't just always download free stuff. You know, we have to take that next step in investing in ourselves and investing in our businesses. So when I create this freebie, it won't have a whole lot of information to just give away. It actually will be a brand voice guide to guide people through creating their brand voice. And with any type of freebie, I believe that there should be some type of call to action to keep these people with you, either drive them to another place on your website that's relatable to this topic and they can come to you for it, obviously, or you can have them, you know, stay on your email list so they can continue giving valuable advice. And one thing that I do with my email list, I give them valuable advice, but again, I don't give them too much. I don't give them the same things, same entire thing that I give to my social media platforms. I give them exclusive information, but I also try to make sure that I'm not giving too much away, because at the end of the day, you want them to come to you for this information. The whole goal is to allow them to see you as an expert. Allow them to see that you're not just delivering fluff, but you're delivering valuable content for them.
Yeah, I think that is definitely true. It is really hard. You don't want to give too much away, like you said, especially with the strategy sessions and things that you offer, and just making sure that you're giving them pieces and things that they can take action on, but not too much information where they could do the whole strategy themselves, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next thing I want to talk about is the tools that you use, because I think that, or some of the tools you use, especially with like the visual elements of your like Instagram page, I think that your whole thing just flows so well together, and I love how you put the visual content together. So can you share like some of those tools, or like one of your favorite tools?
Sure. So I love a good aesthetic, especially on Instagram. Like even on my personal page, like I love a good aesthetic. So one of my favorite, my top thing to use for social media is this site called Creative Market. It's literally like a virtual Hobby Lobby. Everything is wonderful. Everything is bright. Everything, it just really makes you happy. And there are different templates on there for social media, different templates for everything, your website, everything that you need for content marketing is on this website. That is my top website to use to put my social media graphics together. And of course, I love everyone's favorite, which is Canva. Love them for years as well, because you can take templates from Creative Market that are either for Photoshop or for Canva, and you can customize it to your liking. So love Canva. It also keeps me organized with my clients. I can set up their brand colors and all of that stuff like that. And sometimes you have those clients that already have a Canva account and they can add you onto their team, which is, that's very neat. So that's what I use for Instagram, Facebook, anything that I put on online on my social media pages. And for Instagram stories, I like the app called Mojo. There are different templates in there, animated, moving templates. I love a lot of that stuff. Really cool. So those are my three things that I love when making social media graphics.
Yeah, I definitely love a good Creative Market run. I try to get the free, like the little free goods. I think you have to spend like $15 every couple weeks. And so I definitely always try to get those extra free goods. I love the free goods in general, like the six every week. I just think it's a really great profile, really great thing. I always check it. They take my money every week. It's a problem, but it's not a problem at all.
I have a I guess like a little folder collection thing on there where I will save stuff and I'm like, I will come back and, you know, see if I need it or whatnot. When I first discovered them, I would go over there like probably every week because I love their stuff. And the free stuff, I'm always excited to see because they like share like the free stuff every Monday, I think. And so, yeah, they have some really amazing things.
Yeah, the free fonts are amazing because I'm like a bit of a font hoarder. I try to keep it simple when it comes to like my websites and stuff, but like I do a lot of stuff with like InDesign and Photoshop and a lot of Adobe stuff. So I try to just like experiment with the different fonts. I try to be classy and keep it simple on my website, but like anything else, I'm like, let's play with all the fonts. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So moving on from like content creation, we're going to talk about branded pictures because I noticed that you have some really beautiful like brand pictures that you use on your website and social media. And I think that's something a lot of freelancers like want to have. It's like just some really good shots that they can use across their platforms. So how did you go about finding your brand photographer?
So first of all, thank you so much for liking my photos. The photographer behind those, her name is Lydia Williams, and she is amazing. She is awesome. I love her work. I've been having her do my photos for a few years now. When I started working with her for photos, she was local. We were living in the same town, which was great. She's still in the same state, and which is very easy if I need photography done. Her photography, it definitely fits the vision of my brand for sure. She is amazing because when I was looking for someone to do photography for me, of course, I had this vision in my head, what I wanted to be like. And I think I probably stumbled across her on social media and I was like, I love her work. So she's been doing photography for me for a while. She is amazing.
Yeah. So what tips would you give for someone who wants to take those branded or get branded photos taken for their business?
Sure. So my advice is you got to always think beforehand. You know, you don't want to just go into a brand photography shoot and don't plan anything. So you always want to choose your locations and your attire that fit your brand. You always want to bring props that are related to your brand as well, because you can use those in different ways, different types of photos or whatnot. So I guess like when you're thinking about doing brand photos, go back to your vision, your values, and your mission for your brand. Go back to your website. Go back to your initial brand guidelines when it comes to those colors and aesthetics. And so you can bring them to life in these photos. And another good thing is to make things easier for your photographer, maybe brainstorm by yourself or with your photographer a shot list that you can have them have before the actual shoot, so you all know which types of photos you're going to actually shoot, so you're not, you know, trying to figure it out all day. You have a guided list there for you to go by.
Yeah, I definitely love that. I know that when you do photos, it can be like a little bit of like, I do it with my dad normally because he does the photography for like all of my the Happy Hour Canton and like anything I want to do for my business. So it's easy for him because I'm not paying him. He's just like doing it from kindness. But I know that when you're working with an actual photographer or like a person who's doing it for like money, like you don't want that time where you're like, oh, what do you want to do today? Like you have to be a little bit more on the ball and with their time and with your time, because you're usually purchasing an hour of time and you don't want to waste any of that. You want to make sure you know what you're doing when you do it.
But yeah. Exactly.
So another thing, kind of the last couple of topics, I know that you offer brand messaging and we talked about that today, but I want to know, like, what was the hardest part for creating your own brand messaging and how did you get over those issues when creating your website and social content?
So the hardest part for me when I was making my brand messaging is not listening to all the ideas that are in my head, because I can have a ton of ideas and it can be distracting and pull me in different directions, and I'm not sticking to the whole purpose or the value and missions of my actual brand. So when I first started my business, I had to really sit down and focus on this, what I wanted my brand messaging to look like. You know, as a creative, it's easy to get distracted by all those ideas in your head, or, you know, it's easy to get in comparison mode and look at other brands that are similar to yours and think, oh, I want it to look like that, or I want it to look like that. But you can't do that. You have to stick to your value, your mission, and what you want it to look like, visually, and, you know, with the wording. You want everything to be you at all times.
Yeah. So, and then the last topic I'd love to know is, like, how do you go about creating a cohesive brand across your website and social profiles? Because I feel like everything I look at when it comes to your brand, it, like, seems to flow, even when it's on Instagram and it's Instagram's whole thing, or like LinkedIn, everything seems to flow back to you. So I love that about you.
Right. And that is something, like I said earlier, I'm a person that loves a good aesthetic, and I'm all about making your brand stand out and making people, when they see something from you, they know that it's you. You know, one thing that I did when I first started my brand, after I created a business plan and everything, I went to Pinterest and I created a mood board for the web designer. Created a mood board. I saved different photos that resonated with my vision. So that's why you'll see a lot of golds, a lot of grays. That's something that, you know, I just think about my personality. I think about what I have, you know, around me in my own personal space, and, you know, just bring that to life in my business. And so, like I say, you'll see a lot of golds, grays, and a lot of, like, the typewriter font, because I love writing. And so that was something that I really wanted on my website. I like typewriter fonts, and I usually include them in all of my social media graphics. So, you know, I wanted my colors to anything that I did, any font, I would always try to keep it consistent, because once you see it, you'll be like, okay, that's from Danielle of Caillou Media Publishing. You don't have to think twice. You know, that's like big box brands that we usually follow. You know, when you see something from them, you don't have to think twice about who it's from. It can be a simple graphic and you know that it's from Nike, or you know it's from Starbucks or Target. So you always want to be consistent and cohesive, include your same colors, include your same fonts. You don't want to stray away.
Yeah, those are all really great tips. So to wrap up, can you let my audience know where they can find you online?
Absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook. Official Facebook page for me is Caillou Media Publishing. And on Instagram, you can find me. My Instagram handle is Caillou Media Publishing. On LinkedIn, I am Danielle Wallace. So you can find me on either one of those places, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks so much again for inviting me. Really excited to speak to you today.
So there you have it, another episode of The Ambitious Freelancers in the books. And I was so excited to chat with Danielle today. She has such amazing advice, and I know that you guys will get a lot out of today's interview. I know that I did, and I hope that it gave you some things to think about, some different sites to visit, and some different apps to check out. I love all of her advice, and I know that she is just such an amazing person. She is so valuable and amazing. And yeah, so that's really just what I wanted to chat with you guys about today. At the end of this, I hope that you guys again are staying safe and sane, and I will talk to you guys next week for another episode of The Ambitious Freelancer. Bye.